The time is 1 o'clock from Radio Ghana in Accra. This is Mercy Sowah with the news. In the headlines, uniform mining policy to clamp down on illegal mining in the offing. Preparations underway towards Monday's policy fair in the Eastern Region. Ghana Federation of Disabled calls for effective participation of the disabled in the December polls. Public cautions against circulation of counterfeit CFA notes. African heads of state endorse establishment of African Public Emergency Fund and renewed tension reported in Sierra Leone over disputed border settlement. The Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources is collaborating with the security agencies and other stakeholders in the mining sector to come out with a uniform policy on small-scale mining. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the sector minister Mike Hammer said lack of clear guidelines and stiffer punishment meted out to those engaged in illegal mining contributes to regular flouting of laws.
We are working closely with the national security in the coming days. We would come up strongly with some statements. The ministry itself, through the Emeritus Commission, is also going to do a press conference on Monday to assure the public. And also it's important to also to understand that small-scale mining is a prison of Ghanaians. No foreigner is supposed to be engaged in small-scale mining. And I know the National Security Subcommittee on Natural Resources, particularly with regards to the mining sector, is also having a program to control the situation. So I'm saying that we are looking at it on all fronts. And in the coming days, particularly this week, I'm sure that clear directives will be issued by the appropriate.
Looking at the situation, I would say it's complex because it involves a lot of institutions, the national security, the mineral commission, the police, and others. So are you collaborating with these people to scrutinize the Chinese who come into the country?
There is the national security advisor at the castle had quite a number of meetings on this issue, bringing on board all the other sectors who also have a role to play. Meetings with the judiciary, we met the chief justice, and we are working at it. We've also held fora to greet the capacity of the judges to appreciate the issues with regards to natural resources, particularly with mining. Very hopeful that they will be able to build enough capacity to deal with these issues.
So in this respect, are you coming out with a uniform punishment to be meted out to people who are engaged in dispersion of natural resources?
No, I just want to say policy reforms. With the policy reforms, there are also ongoing legal and regulatory reforms to give full effect to the existing act. To also help us, as it were, to come up with appropriate sanctions in the regulations, deal with the issue. So I'm saying the multi-pronged approach. It's cross-sectorial, inter-agency, and our engagement with civil society also has to be deepened.
Mr. Hammer challenged traditional chiefs and the judiciary not to compromise their position with offers from illegal miners.
The chiefs don't even understand that even if the land is yours, the natural resources that is found on the land, in and that is vested in the state, vested in the president, and held in trust for the people of Ghana. So even though the land is yours, but the minerals that you found in the land belongs to the state, you only have a surface right.
Most but has the minister undertaken any education to let them understand the situation?
Yes, we have, and we continue to do it through our inspectorate division, various fora that we've held. It's a continuous process that we've been engaged in, and we intend to even deepen and widen it. If you, in your own personal interest, you allow a Chinese to mine on the land and he destroys it, what about your subject who's a farmer? Yeah, how is he going to get the land to farm and can live in for himself and the family? When he comes to the police, when illegal miners are arrested, from the charge sheet to evidence gathering to engagement of the judge, you know, it's all challenge. In the sense that, you see, they need to prefer appropriate charges against them because these illegal miners are wealthy. No, they're able to compromise their position, and then the charges is effective, evidence gathering is effective. And then when the engagement of the judge, because you, the police prosecutor, you have to engage the judges constructively. You have to appreciate the enormity of the problem. But if you tell the judge, oh, I caught this man doing galamsey river dream, and the judge will also look at the stats, oh, galamsey, okay, you have to charge him $2 million, and I discharge him, and I return his equipment to him. The man goes back, and the next day he's doing the galamsey again.
Minister of Lands and Natural Resources Mike Hammer talking to Yaya Kwamwa. Feverish preparations are being made by the Eastern Regional Coordinating Council towards the regional policy fair scheduled for Monday, July 23rd to Thursday, July 26th in Kofodria in the New Drabem municipality. The fair is on the theme, Building Together for a Better Ghana. is the third to be held this year by the Ministry of Information. The first was organized in Ho in the Volta region, while the Western region hosted the second one in Sekondi. And we have on the line the Eastern Regional Correspondent, Kwame Onuma, to tell us more. Hello, Kwame. Now, what preparations have so far been made towards the program?
I went there this morning, and what I saw was that there were artisans who were busily working at the site. Some of them were decorating the area with the Ghana flag, whereas others also were erecting the sheds that will be used by the exhibitors, and there were some also waiting for some canopies in order to erect them for the Daba, which will be officially used to launch the program for the four-day exercise.
And basically, how many exhibitors are expected at the fair?
About 100 exhibitors from the various districts, as well as municipalities in the region, and some private sectors, as well as the non-governmental organization and donor agencies, are all expected to be part of the exhibitors.
And I believe you've been talking to the organizers, the Eastern Regional Coordinating Council. What do they hope to achieve at the end of the fair, considering the theme, Building Together for a Better Ghana?
When I went there, I saw that because they are organizing it, the regional minister, Victor Smith, as well as the host, chief executive, Alex Asama, were going there almost every now and then to assess the situation on the ground. And apart from that also, their main aim is to unearth the potentials in this region. And since one man can't build a nation, they were aiming at bringing all together people with diverse expertise, and they share the ideas as well as other resources that can be tapped to develop the region, their district, municipalities, and the nation as a whole, and also create job opportunities for that people. Since government alone cannot do everything to uplift the image of Ghana or raise Ghana's economy, there is a need for all of them to come and then brainstorm or put their heads together to find out certain solutions on issues bordering the region.
Thank you, Kwame Onuma. You heard our Eastern Regional Correspondent, Kwame Onuma, telling us more about preparations towards the Eastern Regional Policy Fair. The African Election Project AEP and the Ghana Community Radio Network have signed an agreement to collaborate and share information towards promoting peaceful, credible and transparent 2012 elections. The two bodies would use the Ghana Votes Ushahidi platform, ghvotes2012.com. The partnership is aimed at synchronizing activities under AEP's Enabling Peaceful, Transparent and Credible Elections in Ghana using New Media Platform Project and GCRNS. This was contained in a statement issued in Accra by the coordinator of AEP, Jeremiah Sam. We bring you the details.
The merging of the two entities in executing the project would help to reduce duplications of efforts and better serve the citizenry during the elections. Both projects are being funded by strengthening transparency, accountability and responsiveness in Ghana, Star Ghana, a multi-donor pooled funding mechanism funded by DFID, Danida, EU and USAID. The partnership would enable the community radios under GCRN to contribute and report incidents around the elections from their various locations across the country and use information from the Ushahidi platform as content for topical discussions on their network. It would also amplify other issues raised on the platform. The idea behind this collaboration is to encourage full citizens' participation in the electoral process by providing them with a modern, attractive, user-friendly and interactive, well-structured online election platform to enable journalists and civil society organizations to share information about Ghana's elections via multiple channels, including a toll-free SMS short code prefix AEP to 1902 on all networks and 7000 on MTN, email, Twitter, radio programs and web forms. The information collected would be verified and published with a dynamic timeline that shows when and where every incident happened. The Ghana Vote 2012 Ushahidi platform has been specially developed to display reports from the Electoral Commission, civil society groups and citizens on the upcoming December elections.
That was a news desk report. The Ghana Federation of the Disabled has called for effective inclusion and participation of persons with disabilities in this year's election. The first vice president of the federation and president of Ghana Blind Union, Yaofuri Debra, stated this during an interview with Issa Shaibu at a forum organized by the Ghana Federation of the Disabled in Accra today.
Ghana Federation of Disabled, we believe that currently within the democratic dispensation of Ghana, it is the political parties that actually seek the mandate of Ghanaians to execute their political programs for the development of this country. And for that matter, if we are not close to them, we will not be able to influence development planning from inception. And for that matter, we may not be able to get our needs and aspirations catered for adequately. So we are encouraging our members to go to various political parties of their choice and join them so that they can influence their thinking. Again, we also think that persons with ability who are competent and qualified should also be considered for positions of trust. And if you are not part of the political party, definitely you will not be considered. And for that matter, and again, we also believe that persons with disability are not apolitical. In other words, they are not people who do not have political interest. But because of the attitudes of people, that is why they are not much seen in political circles.
Well, specifically, which area are you calling for total inclusion?
When we talk of total inclusion here, we are saying that we want to be seen in all facets of society, and political facet is another prominent area that if we are there, we will be able to influence the course of development. And for that matter, we are calling on political parties to embrace our members who are willing to join them and contribute towards development of this country.
That was the first vice president of the Federation and president of Ghana Blind Union, Yaofuri Debra. Muslims the world over yesterday began the month of Ramadan. The month, which serves as a guide to mankind, is used to reflect on one's life throughout the period of the ritual. It's also a month of recommitting oneself to Allah. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the chairman of the Islamic Council for Development and Humanitarian Services, ISODE, Sheikh Mustafa Ibrahim, called on Muslims to use the Ramadan period to rededicate themselves to Allah, be charitable, caring, and say special prayers for the development of the nation. He said Ramadan is an important period on the Muslim calendar, and it's one of the five pillars of Islam.
The youth must be disciplined, because even the Holy Prophet depended on the youth, but not today. The youth that are serious, the youth that know what they're about. Don't allow yourself to be used to go and fight, to go and beat people. You should be youth that you do your best to push the country forward, to bring development, to pray to Almighty Allah to help the country. Don't allow politicians to use you to go and fight your brothers. You can't love people more than yourself. Don't depend on these persons and deities to go and behave. Work hard, go to school, and work, and Allah will help you.
Sheikh Mustafa Ibrahim asked the youth to be disciplined because Prophet Muhammad depended on the youth for development. He advised the electorate and the youth in particular to pray to Allah for peaceful elections.
This month is a month that we should all take it serious. We should forget about what we have done. We should be reading the Holy Quran. We should be charitable, helping one another. Because the Prophet said that you cannot be satisfied and see your brother going hungry. You cannot do that. So show love to those who are in need. We should show love to the elderly, to the children, to those who don't have whatever. Yet share it with your brother. Use this occasion to pray to Allah Almighty to protect us, to bless our country, and let us have a free election. We are in the year of election, and we know what the challenges that confront us through elections. But I hope that we do some of that. We use it to pray to God Almighty Allah. We also ask God Almighty Allah to select the best leader for us. We don't know. Only Allah knows.
You heard the chairman of ISODE, Sheikh Mustafa Ibrahim. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: uniform mining policy to clamp down on illegal mining in the offing. Preparations underway towards Monday's policy fair in the eastern region. Ghana Federation of Disabled calls for effective participation of the disabled in the December polls. Public cautioned against circulation of counterfeit CFA notes. African heads of state endorse establishment of African Public Emergency Fund, and renewed tension reported in Sierra Leone over disputed border settlement. Do stay with us. The International Telecommunication Union, ITU, has honored the Director of Regulatory Administration at the National Communications Authority, NCA, Joshua Pepra, for his contribution towards telecommunication globally. The honor, in the form of a citation, was in recognition of his contribution to the ITUT Telecommunication Standardization Advisory Group and the excellent work he performed as Vice Chairman of the group and developing country issues and liaison to ITU during the 2009 to 2012 period. This was contained in a statement signed by the Public Relations Officer, Consumer and Corporate Affairs Division of NCA, Gloria Forson. We bring you the details.
Telecommunication standardization sector of the ITU reviews the priorities, programs, operations, as well as financial matters and strategies for the telecommunication sector. It ensures that work programs are accomplished while restructuring and establishing ITUT study groups, among other duties. Mr. Pepra was a member of the team that introduced the famous digital signal processor chip that had become an integral part of most telecom and computing systems when he worked as a design and application engineer with the Semiconductor Division of Texas Instruments in Dallas, U.S. Currently, as the Vice Chairman for African Region of the Telecommunications Standardization Advisory Group at ITU, Mr. Pepra has extensive experience in telecom standardization through his active participation in the ITUT system, which has made him part of the experts group working on the implementation of the WTSA 08 Resolution 76. After guiding its successful acceptance at the World Telecommunications Assembly Standardization in 2008 in Johannesburg, South Africa, in Ghana, Mr. Pepra led the introduction and implementation of mobile number portability, one of the most successfully implemented MNP projects within Africa, and served as the chairman of the National Multi-Stakeholder Committee established by the government of Ghana to develop policy recommendations for the attainment of a timely, cost-effective and environmentally responsible migration from analog to digital broadcasting. He is currently the chairman of the Technical Committee of the Digital Broadcasting Migration Committee, the body established to oversee the implementation of the television migration project in Ghana.
A news desk report. The Ashanti Regional Director of Education, Joseph Onyina, has called for a more aggressive promotion of information and communication technology ICT education in schools. This is necessary to ensure that the nation's youth are not left behind in an increasingly globalized world. He was speaking at a seminar organized for heads of senior high schools, ICT coordinators and teachers in Kumasi. The seminar was to introduce them to the Computer Learning and Support Sustainable Classwork Program, an initiative by Via Africa Foundation, an NGO, to help schools acquire computers at relatively cheaper rates. Mr. Oyinna called for the strengthening of the teaching of ICT in schools by ensuring that only qualified teachers are engaged. He identified the lack of infrastructure, inadequate qualified ICT teachers, unstable and irregular power supply as major challenges that need to be tackled to enhance the teaching and learning of ICT. The project manager of Via Africa Foundation, Margaret Simons, said the organization through the Class Work Program is facilitating the supply of computers, training and e-learning material to schools at lower prices. Madame Simon said the program is being piloted in Ashanti and in the Ashanti region and will be replicated across the country. The public have been warned to be wary of the upsurge in circulation of counterfeit CFA franc notes, particularly in the denomination of the 2,000 and 10,000 CFA franc notes. These notes are commonly used by the 8 West African states belonging to the West Africa Economic and Monetary Union. A statement issued by the Information Services Department of the Ministry of Information says the crime, which is believed to be perpetrated by a network of counterfeiters in Côte d'Ivoire, takes advantage of retailers and petty traders who carry out their activities on a daily basis without the use of counterfeit detectors. It also mentioned other places where these counterfeits are being introduced as marketplaces, funeral grounds, and nightclubs. The statement therefore advises users of CFA franc currency to use their counterfeit detectors to do physical comparison of suspected notes with genuine CFA bank notes in order to identify security features such as watermarks, texture of notes, and the visible security threat with the inscription of the value of the note to identify the counterfeit note. African heads of states and governments have endorsed the establishment of the African Public Health Emergency Fund, introduced to the 19th Ordinary Session of the Assembly of the African Union, AU, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The President of the Gambia, Yahya Jammeh, moved the motion for the heads of states to adopt and endorse the fund. In an address, President Jammeh reminded the summit that public health emergencies remain a major concern for Africa as they continue to draw back the continent's development. According to a statement issued by the WHO Africa Regional Office in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, President Jammeh pointed out that a number of countries do not have the requisite human, financial, and material resources to deal effectively and efficiently with public health emergencies. He said these countries often have to shift the attention beyond their boundaries for external assistance that sometimes arrives when much damage has already been done. He said it's in this regard that it's strongly justifiable to create a common fund that will considerably enhance preparedness for dealing with emergencies and their attendant unpleasant consequences. The acting Majority Chief Whip in Parliament, George Kuntu Blankson, has justified the laying of the Constitutional Instrument CI on the newly created constituencies. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Kuntu Blankson said the suit filed at the Supreme Court which challenges the EC over the creation of the 45 constituencies does not in any way prevent the laying of the CI in Parliament. Reacting to comments that there are no offices to accommodate more MPs, Mr. Kuntu Blankson said the Job 600 will be completed soon to take care of that. The Director of Communications of the NPP, Nana Akumia, explained that the CI has a lot of challenges. He said the time frame for the laying of the CI is also problematic as Parliament will rise before the 21-day mandate for the CI to mature. Political parties are bracing themselves up to contest the 45 new constituencies to be created. Although the NPP and CPP have faulted the EC for rushing the constitutional instrument that will legalize the creation, they feel they'll organize themselves as early as possible to contest the elections. Speaking on Behind the News, Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, George Lawson, noted that his party has already set a date for election of parliamentary candidates in these constituencies so that the NDC will not be caught unawares when the bill is finally passed.
Maybe they don't know what is life. In life, you plan. Once you know there's something ahead of you, plan ahead. You don't wait for it to come before you start running helter-skelter. We are planning so that when it's passed, we are already there. You don't wait when it's the thing becomes matured or it's passed, then you start running helter-skelter, looking for who does this. By the time, if it's passed, then we have our people in place, and then we'll be ready for the parliamentary election.
But do you have executives in all these constituencies already? That is why you are going ahead to elect parliamentary candidates.
Yes, we put in place measures to have executives in all the... and as I speak to you, we have executives in most of them. Immediately, that is, we have executives in most of them, as I speak to you at the moment. We have a plan of replacing or appointing there are constitution talks about how to appoint, how to where there are vacancies, how to fill those vacancies, and we have done accordingly.
But what happens if there is an anticlimax? That is, if Parliament fails to approve the CI?
Parliament, not looking at what is happening in Parliament, nothing of that sort can happen. If we talk of the courts, but in Parliament, yes, you need two thirds, and our people are not going to vote, that is not going to happen. So we can't have that two thirds. That one, let me tell you, can never have the two thirds.
The Director of Communications of the CPP, Niyama Akomfra, the flag bearer of the PPP, Dr. Pakwe Sindum, also raised issues with how the CI was laid.
For me, that is not the real issue, my friend. The real issue is not necessarily what the NDC or the EC are deciding to do today. All along, the PPP has been saying that the 1992 Constitution needs to be amended, that it needs to be corrected where we believe there are difficulties or where we found fault or where it is not serving our best interest. Other people have not been agreeing with us. And we are running on a campaign and an agenda of change. And one of the changes that we want to bring is to update and revise the Constitution to reflect the experiences that we have had since 1992. And one of those experiences that we consider to be negative has been the opportunity given to those administrations that have been there to increasingly create new districts, which have then also led to the EC to create new constituencies. So if we change the constitution and we put the right provisions there, a government of the day would not get up arbitrarily, get into the end of its term, and say we are creating new districts. The EC would also not have the opportunity to say that because the government has created new districts, we are also creating new constituencies.
You heard the flag bearer of the CPP, Dr. Pakwe Sindum. There's renewed tension in Sierra Leone over a disputed border settlement following reports that Guinean troops have extended their occupied territory. The small settlement of Yenga, which lies east of the country, has been under Guinean forces' occupation as it was used as a base to prevent rebels from infiltrating their territory during Sierra Leone's 11-year civil war. But close to 10 years since the end of the war, Sierra Leone is still fighting to get back the settlement, with troops from the two sides having come close to clashing in recent years. Hopes of a deal were, however, raised last month following a meeting between Sierra Leonean President Ernest Bai Koroma and his Guinean counterpart, Professor Alpha Conde. A Nigerian Fuel Importers Union says it will shut down jetties and depots from July 23rd if the government does not pay outstanding gasoline subsidy payments, which are a massive drain on Africa's second biggest economy. President Goodluck Jonathan tried to end fuel subsidies on January 1st, prompting more than a week of strikes and protests after petrol prices more than doubled. Jonathan ended the strikes by partially reinstating the subsidy. Powerful state governors have said they'll take the federal government to court for what they call illegal over-budget subsidy payments. The EU is set to offer to suspend sanctions against all Zimbabweans except a small core that includes President Robert Mugabe if the country continues its political reforms. EU foreign ministers meeting in Brussels will look at ways of encouraging reform in Zimbabwe, offering to resume direct aid to the government after a 10-year suspension. A statement approved by ambassadors of the 27 nations and expected to be adopted by the ministers states that a travel ban and asset freeze against around 100 people could be lifted after a constitutional referendum due to be held later this year. To end the news, the main points again. The Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources is collaborating with the security agencies and other stakeholders in the mining sector to come out with a uniform policy on small-scale mining. The Ghana Federation of the Disabled has called for effective inclusion and participation of persons with disabilities in this year's election. The first vice president of the federation and president of Ghana Blind Union, Yao Ofori Debra, stated this at a forum organized by the Federation of the Disabled in Accra. The public have been warned to be wary of the upsurge in circulation of counterfeit CFA franc notes, particularly in the denomination of the 2,000 and 10,000 CFA francs. And there's renewed tension in Sierra Leone over a disputed border settlement following reports that Guinean troops have extended their occupied territory. The news was presented by Mercy Sowah in Accra.